The topic on my mind this morning is the exclusivity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've struggled with this over the last few days, trying to get my thoughts together. Even though this subject has been on my mind for a few weeks, trying to get my hands on it for this, it felt like trying to grab smoke going through the air. But early this morning, my mind did settle, and I prayed that Christ will be glorified. So the exclusivity of Christ is a topic that is much debated in our current culture. It is something that people really say with great disdain when they are thinking about Christians or anyone that serves Jesus. What they say is, how can you say that your way is right? There are 7 billion plus people in the world today. Depending on how you count major religions, there's between 9 and 11 major religions in the world. Then there's thousands of other smaller religions. Of those thousands, Christianity makes up approximately one-third of the world population. That one-third of the world would identify themselves as Christian. So people will say, how can you say, with two-thirds of the people not agreeing with you, how can you be so bold? How can you be so calloused as to say that Jesus is the only way? And to make this even more difficult, this is tough for Americans because our nation was built on religious freedom. Our nation was populated by people that were looking for an opportunity to worship. And because of that, the First Amendment to our Constitution preserves the right of people to worship however they want. And I believe that myself and most everyone in here would fiercely defend the right of a Muslim or a Mormon or a Hindu to worship how they choose. But in doing so, that doesn't mean that we feel that their way of worship is valid or right or acceptable in the sight of God.
Amen.
So just because we defend their right to do so doesn't mean that we put our stamp of approval upon it and call it valid, for it is not valid, because so many of our world's religions contradict each other, and more importantly, they contradict the Word of God and Jesus Himself.
Amen.
So how are we to look at this subject? How are we to, in our hearts and in our minds, come to grips with the fact, or come to grips with the question that people say, how can your way be the only way? Well, I believe we have to start by saying, it's not my way. I do not believe my way is the only way. For if it were my way, it is no better than your way. It is no better than the way of those that believe in Confucius. It is no better than the Muslim. But friends, it is not my way.
Amen.
Scripture in many places shows us and demands the exclusivity of God and of Jesus Christ. And it is not in one place. It is not by one author. It is throughout Scripture. And it begins even as far back as God giving His law to His people. What was the first commandment that was given to Israel? Thou shalt have no other gods, little g, before me. God the Father was establishing from the very beginning, I am not one option. I am not one of many. I am not one that you can choose or deny. I am the supreme God of heaven and earth. There are no others but me. He established that from the very beginning, establishing His supremacy and His exclusivity.
Right.
Okay, well, that's God the Father. What about Jesus? Well, we find in Matthew 17:5 that this same moniker was passed to the Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, a voice came out of heaven, and we heard this saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God the Father transferred to his Son the right to be worshiped, the right to be heard, the right to say that he is the way, not a way. Okay, so we now have God the Father speaking twice, but is he the only one? We find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Apostle Paul teaching young Timothy, the preacher. He makes in no uncertain terms, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He didn't say there are some mediators, there are a few mediators, there are many mediators. He didn't say there are some paths, there are some paths that are better than others. He said there is one mediator. And what is a mediator? A mediator is a go-between. The mediator is the one that stands between God and man. Jesus Christ is the conduit to the Father. He is the conduit to heaven itself, and he is the only one. These verses are not cryptic. You don't have to dive into the Greek or into the Hebrew to try to parse out what is meant here. We are not trying to unravel a great mystery. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. But Jesus even affirms this himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, he did not say, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a form of life. And that is what people want to believe. People want to see Jesus as a part of a buffet, that they can come in and take when they want, or take something else, or have a large choice. That is what man wants. He wants his will to be at the forefront. He wants choice. Yeah. Jesus says, there is no choice. I am the way. Definite article, the. How many truths are there? Are there many ways to God, since there are so many religions? Are there many avenues? No, there's one truth, and it is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Is there another way to have life? There are different religions say, well, there's this form of life. There's Valhalla. There's a sweet remembrance place for some religions. Other places, there's mansions and all sorts of earthly goods that can be inherited if you follow the book and follow the prophet. Jesus says all of those are lies. There is one life, and that life is in me, through me, and by me. Yeah. Jesus is demanding that we understand that he is exclusive in all that there is, all that he says, and all that there will ever be.